Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday morning.
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Usually you do this Mondays.
We usually do Monday, but didn't work out yesterday. Had a busy day, so we are here on Tuesday because we didn't want to let this go without digging into it. And that was our last message, I believe, in the mental health series, because we're doing a All Praise Sunday this next this next Sunday, which will be a natural continuation of the series itself. But that was our last sermon, and you did a really good job closing it up.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
As I know, kind of a passion topic of yours, mental health, just the nature of your job puts you in that.
Yes, it does.
Realm often.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it, but it was also, some messages come easier than others, and there's just so much to say about this topic. And
yeah.
I'm not an expert, so, but I've worked in it enough to have too much to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there is way too much to say in 3 weeks of a series, and you only got 1 week. So there's definitely way too much for you to say.
And I went 10 minutes over as it was in the message.
That's okay. It was the song. It was the song.
It was the song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I love that song. Blessed. I think it's Vertical Worship. Man, what a great song. I listened to it this morning.
It's a really good song. Something I thought we could just start with was the idea that you started the sermon with. I think it's good for us to start here with this conversation also. Lest anyone start to think that, oh, it's mental health, this one doesn't apply to me. You said we've all been in recovery since Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Which I think is a super true statement.
Yeah.
And a biblical statement. But what, like, I mean, you said it. So what inspired that thought? Why? Could you just expand on that?
Well, there's some sensitivity because in recovery, people often feel like there are those people and then there are the rest of us. And in fact, sometimes in Celebrate Recovery, people will wear shirts that says, I am one of those people.
Okay.
Or there's the thought that I'm not one of those people.
Yeah.
And as I said on Sunday, I understand what people, why people would say that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's be honest, none of us are perfect. That's easy enough to say.
Right.
But let's go deeper than that. Since Adam and Eve, we've all been in a very fallen world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all very broken. And one person's addiction may be alcohol. And another person's addiction might be materialism or spending. And in our culture, we would tend to categorize those.
Yeah.
Like one's bad and one's expected. Well, before God, we're all very broken people. And I just want to level the playing field. It's not to say people who are struggling with a chemical addiction don't need a particular kind of help.
Right.
But lest we say, well, I hope those people are listening to this sermon and this doesn't apply to me. That's what that's why I wanted to say that.
Yeah. No, that is an important point. And I think we do tend to break up sin into different categories of like acceptable and unacceptable. And I don't know why we have decided that we could take that responsibility on ourselves, because things that are defined as sin is, you know, standing between your ability to perfectly love God or love other people, then it's sinful. And that happens when we're loving ourselves more than we're loving others, which is true in chemical addictions. It's true in the ones that we can see.
Yeah.
And I think the ones that we can see often become the ones of like, whoa, those people, you know, that's often what it is. But, we have to understand that, you know, I have pride that I have to deal with, and that's getting in the way of my ability to love somebody else. And
absolutely. And even the very act to say, well, they're struggling with this sin and that makes them so much worse than me. That in and of itself is sin.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So, good reminder. We're all on the same, we all have the same need for recovery. I think
that's right.
You can hear a really powerful testimony, but ultimately the format of anybody's testimony is always the same, right?
That's right.
It's before
yep.
I knew the Lord, I met the Lord, and now the Lord is doing
that's
this right. in my life. And that's where all of us find ourselves, somewhere in those three categories. So.
Absolutely. And Christ didn't die because I have it all together.
Mm-hmm.
He died for me because I don't have it all together.
Yeah. Yep. So we talked through the Beatitudes, which was cool because I didn't know that they were so deeply connected to the 12 steps.
Yeah.
And I know, especially in, you guys use those in Celebrate Recovery. And what's cool about it is that you guys stay connected to the higher power is God. But also with Celebrate Recovery, it's anybody with hurts, habits, or hangups,
yes,
right?
That's
is how
right.
you say it.
Yeah.
And so that, again, encapsulates all of us.
That's right. Absolutely. Most people are surprised to hear that only about 30% of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a significant number because there are literally 37,000 weekly Celebrate Recovery meetings around the world.
Wow. That's a lot.
Of that number, of which we are just one here, Christ Community, only about 30% of people who attend all CRs struggle with chemical addiction.
Wow.
That means 70% struggle with, we could name all kinds of things, overeating, overspending, relationships, divorce, some are struggling with grief, pornography, gambling, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
People come, 70%. But one of the challenges we face is the word recovery is in the name of this ministry.
Right.
And so, understandably, people hear recovery and they think chemical addiction.
Yeah.
It's much broader than that in Celebrate Recovery.
And something that is probably worth noting is there's the chemicals on the outside addiction, right? But all of us have the brain chemicals,
yes.
and that's really what
that's,
we need to
that's right.
level out and recover from. So it's not so much the... what's the chemical on the outside, but what is it chemically doing to my brain on the inside when I engage in these things?
Absolutely. If you look at brain scans of people who are addicted to various things, probably wouldn't surprise you if I said the brain scan of an alcoholic does not look like a healthy brain.
Mm-hmm.
But the brain scan of somebody addicted to pornography or gambling, you would see distortions in those brain scans as well.
Yeah. Similar to the ones that are brain scans of people with a physical chemical addiction.
That's right. That's right.
And we have to recognize that the notification on our cell phone often triggers the same chemical
That's right.
release. So
That's right.
It's interesting.
Yeah, you know, the Beatitudes, with your point, I do think it's fascinating that when Bill Wilson,
mm-hmm.
who goes by Bill W., and Dr. Bob Smith, when they wrote the 12 steps, you can look it up. They would rely on the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes in particular.
Yeah.
So that's why I like to let people know there's a direct connection between one of the predominant, if not the majority, can't say that for sure because
mm-hmm.
it's hard to say if it's the majority strategy of recovery, but a predominant form of recovery in the United States and I think in the world is the 12 steps, and it uses these 8 Beatitudes.
Yeah. And you were so helpful in breaking them up into kind of more clear categories, so broader categories.
Yes.
So we had, which I think is huge because we mentioned just a few minutes ago the fact that sin is anything that's keeping us from loving God or loving people perfectly, right? And those are kind of the first two categories in the Beatitudes is the first couple are, this is directly connected to our relationship with God and having the humility and the posture of humility to approach God, realizing like I can't and it has to be you.
Yeah.
That was a great place to start. It's always a good place to start.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Right?
Yeah, first three are all about humility. And I love how James 4 really summarizes, James 4, 7 to 10, summarizes that if we're not humble before God, we can't be in a right relationship with Him. God is always gracious and we can always get back, but humility really is the key. And humility is the key in recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the first lessons in recovery is coming out of denial. Well, that takes humility to come out of denial and say, I don't have it all together.
Right.
I need help. Well, that's exactly what we say to God when we come to Him.
That's true.
And then that leads into loving people. You can always find exceptions to this, but in general, if I'm in a right relationship with God and I'm coming to Him humbly, then my disposition toward other people mm-hmm. will likely be one of humility. At least it will move the needle in that direction. It'll take a whole lifetime, but it will move the needle in the direction of humility toward people.
Right. Which is important, because I think so often, and especially when we're thinking about this topic in particular, is that humble recognition that, okay, I might not have the same thing going on the outside that you do.
Yeah.
But I got stuff going on the inside and I'm not okay either.
That's right.
Humility really is a great leveler of the playing field,
yes,
right? For all of us. It's saying, like, I need to know that if I follow my own thought process, if I follow my own will, that I'm gonna go wrong, I'm gonna hurt people, I'm gonna hurt myself, I'm gonna hurt God.
Yes, which reminds me of one of my, I don't know if it's a favorite saying, but it's very pointed saying in recovery, and that is, hurting people hurt people.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, the first three Beatitudes teach us that people who are humble are recognizing that their relationship with God is not right. And so a healthy person in a growing relationship with Christ is more likely to help people. So people we could say the opposite is true. People in a right relationship with God are more likely not to hurt people, but to help people.
Right. Well, so then those last couple Beatitudes kind of point us towards the living it out.
That's right.
Right. And you said something to the effect of, because I was trying so hard to write things verbatim, but you kept saying very good things. Oh, so I was running out of, but I was just looking at it. I was thinking, you know, when we, you had said something along the lines of, when we imitate the peace of God, we become a picture of that peace to other people.
Yes, yes.
And that's what we want for our living it out
to be.
Just kind of a picture of the hope that we can, that we have, and that everybody can have in Christ.
Yeah. And that's the Ephesians 2, I think it's 2, is it 14? Jesus Himself is our peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so He's our peace. We imitate Him because He's perfectly mentally healthy.
Yep.
And when we do so, we become peacemakers, which in turn, it doesn't make life perfect, but it does bring our mental health, not mental illness, because you can have a mental illness and still be moving towards mental health.
Right.
But when we live pursuing peace, which is hard to do in this world, then it will give us a healthier state of mental health.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So there's three different categories here of practical steps. And this is what we ended on. And I think it was just a really good thing to walk away with, because everybody can grab something from each of those categories, right? Wouldn't recommend trying to do all of the things immediately, because that will just get overwhelming and probably cause you more mental unhealth than health.
That's right.
But we can all grab one thing from each category. So I was thinking, like, what would you grab from that personal steps category, the relational category, and the spiritual category.
Yeah, well, one of my favorites has become the word pause, partly because I don't do it well. But I do find a lot of value in believing that, first of all, in most situations, I have the ability to stop what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I can move ahead or I can stay still for a moment. I have, God's given me the ability to make that decision. And so I find when I pause, good things are more likely to happen. Things that I, mm-hmm. mentally healthy things,
okay.
are more likely to happen. So I like that one. Just pause, take a deep breath, which is one of them. Box breathing, by the way, is, yeah. if you read the work of Brené Brown, I think she gets it from the military, is breathing, inhaling for 4 seconds, holding it for 4, exhaling for 4, and then holding your breath for 4, and mm-hmm. then starting it over. It really does help to bring you down. So pause and breathing and praying, those three you can kind of yeah. do at the same time. Really helpful.
Yep. All right. So in relational step, what would you say?
These are tough ones. Family, friends, we all know that relationships can be really hard. We talk about this in recovery, not just Celebrate Recovery, but keep in mind the predominant form of recovery in the United States is the 12 steps. Overeaters Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, you name the Anonymous, Sex and Love Addiction Anonymous. They're using the 12 steps. The 12 steps teach them to get right with people by what we call making amends.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize for what I've done.
Yeah.
Or forgiving people. And so those two often go hand in hand. So you've asked me for one. I'm actually giving you all three.
You are, but that's okay.
avoiding isolation. Isolation is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
It's brutal. And it's not easy for some to change.
Right.
Some people, it's not like everybody who's isolated wants to be isolated.
Right.
I just know that I've seen when people spend a lot of time alone, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons we have any number of groups here, any number of care ministries that you can come to and connect with people.
Right.
They're not perfect groups, but they are broken people willing to spend time together and avoid isolation.
Yeah, absolutely. And then spiritual step you can take.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of them. But one you mentioned was the listening to Christian music.
And
that's like in your mind something that all of a sudden has been a really cool thing.
Yeah. I have listened to Christian music for 35 years, and I remember as a teenager when I first heard about it outside of church,
mm-hmm.
like it was from a Christian friend who was,
right.
I thought was a bit of a fanatic Christian.
Okay. Yeah.
And he told me about this group called Petra, and I'm like, what the heck are you talking about? And so anyway, Christian music later went on to become...
It's come a long way in those 35 years.
It's come a long way.
Listening.
It really has. Yeah. But I do think, I said this Sunday, I think it's a disconnect. If we come to church on Sunday and sing 4 or 5 songs,
mm-hmm.
we are not doing that just to be religious.
Right.
Now, I know we all express ourselves differently in worship. We are doing that because there's something inherently powerful about singing truth about God back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And doing it together is powerful too.
Yeah.
But I just think there's a disconnect if we go a whole week and we've not exposed ourselves to anything that powerful. So there's a lot of good Christian radio out there. That's generally all that I listen to. I'm mm-hmm. not holding that up as everybody should do that. But if you don't do that at all, I just would say try it.
Yeah.
Try it for, I don't know, 10 minutes a day, whatever.
Yeah.
And see how it affects you mentally and spiritually.
Yeah. I think it does turn us into a more kind of hopeful place in our mind. But yeah. All right, we have to start wrapping up because I watched Sean give me the time signals and I just blew right through them. Oh, like, okay. I didn't care.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah,
I would have kept going.
Sneaky signals from Sean, and I just didn't care today.
I do want to
say, such a good conversation.
If I can end, Sean, I do want to say, we have all of these care ministries. We would love for you to check one out.
The new ones that have just started. We have Hopeful Minds, which I can't believe that's been almost a year. That's insane.
It's a year next month, which. So thankful for Lauren and her leadership on that. She really knocks it out of the park. And then we also have a brand new ministry called Anchored. And this is for women who have experienced all kinds of abuse. It could be physical, but it could be even cyber stalking and anything in between. And it's single, married, divorced. It's for any woman who's experienced any kind of abuse. That's Monday night.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then Stephen Ministry.
Stephen Ministry, right. So, Stephen Ministry, many, many churches in the United States are official Stephen Ministry churches. And I am so proud to say that we are now one, too. We have 9 people who, starting back in January, meet on Monday nights for, I think it's 2.5 hours. And by the time they're just about finished, they each will have received 50 hours of volunteer training. That's a lot for a caring, listening kind of ministry. So I encourage you to check out any one of those ministries, any one of the new ones, any of the ones we've had. Divorce Care and Grief Share, we've had here for upwards, literally, of 25 years.
Yeah. It's wild.
Celebrate Recovery. We have the Meals Ministry.
All kinds of things.
That's right.
It's awesome. And I know that you have tons of volunteers. You said over 50.
We have
that make
50.
All of these happen.
That's right.
But it wouldn't be happening without you in the leader seat. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Like you said, Sunday, we're never going to find perfect mental health on this side of heaven.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
But we can pursue comfort and peace, and we can pursue better mental health. And that's really what we hope everybody took from this series in general, was just, here's some practical tools for better mental health.
That's right.
We want to walk with everybody in that. And so if you have questions or needs or want to get connected with one of these groups, please reach out to us. We're open doors and
care
open
at
email
visitccc.com is easy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Well, thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Thanks for sticking it out with us. This was a long one today. Sorry, Sean.
That was only like 5 minutes, right?
Yeah, we're all right. Well, you went 10 minutes long in your sermon, seemed like it made sense that we could go a little long with this one, too. All right. Have a great week, y'all. We'll see you back next week.
See ya.